For some of you, this is the first time you have seen me in a suit. Okay? I've heard already this morning many times, many people have already said, you clean up pretty good. I can clean the outside up pretty good, but the challenge is I can't clean the inside up. And that's what we're going to talk about today. And we're going to talk about what happens when we give our heart to Jesus. What happens on that moment when you ask Jesus into your heart? What happened? Some of you know, but as I begin to study this, I cannot tell you everything that happens because the list continues to grow and grow and grow. And as I learn more and more about what Jesus is doing in our lives and what happened on that day when I give my heart to him, I'm overwhelmed and I'm broken. Because we have no clue until we get into his word and see that all that he does for us. So, with that being said, we're going to begin this. And by the way, this is the only suit I have because I am not comfortable in this thing, okay? God is so good to us. And he has blessed us in so many ways. But when you give your heart to Jesus, and I'm going to use the phrase, when you are born again, because the Bible speaks about that, and we're going to talk about a little of that. But when you are born again, here are some things that happen. And some of you know some of this. So if you're a person that likes to write down notes, I'm going to just throw some scripture at you. I'm not going to read these scriptures, because I want you to go back and look at these and see these as references. And I'm telling you, the list continues to grow. But I'm not going to overwhelm you with the list. I'm just going to give you a few things, okay? One of the first things that happen, and you'll find this in Luke chapter 15, verse 7 and 10, heaven rejoices. Heaven rejoices. And I will read this one to you as well. And Jesus has given some parables. One's about the lost sheep, and the other one's about a lost coin. And it talks about the lost sheep, that he will leave the 99 to go after the one. He leaves his whole flock of sheep to find the one. And when he finds this one, he picks him up, puts him on his shoulders to carry him back. And in verse 7, he says, I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. When you came to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, when you became born again, all of heaven rejoiced. The angels gathered around the throne of God and began to rejoice. The saints that have already gone to be with the Lord rejoiced. It is a big deal. And all of us here that are living righteous, we need to rejoice with them. But God says, this is so important. This is the reason why I came to earth to die, so that you could live with me forever and your sins are forgiven. The blood I shed upon the cross of Calvary was for your sins to be forgiven. That's important to me. So all of heaven rejoices over one sinner when he comes to repentance. The next one was about the lost coin in verse 10. It talks about the lost coin where they go and you lose this coin. I don't know if you guys have ever done this, but maybe your keys, he used a coin, and you frantically look everywhere. You tear your house apart, your cars apart, anything. Where is this coin or this key? Where's it at? Till you find it. And when you find it, I found it. I got it. Verse 10 says, in the same way, I tell you, there's rejoicings in the presence of angels of God over one sinner who repents. And there's other scriptures that continue to tell us this, but I gave you two in one spot that Jesus shared with the people at his day. When you bow your knees and you ask Jesus into your life and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Save me. Boom! The rejoicing begins. I don't know how long it lasts. If we go by the Old Testament, sometimes they last a week. So what I'm thinking is there is continually rejoicing in heaven. Because right now, somewhere in this world, someone just gives their heart to Jesus. And it continues and it continues and continues. So there is constant rejoicing in heaven, praising God for this. And I just shared with you the other thing that could happen. It does happen. Your sins are forgiven. I'm going to give you a couple of scriptures. Psalms 103, verse 12. And this tells us that our sins, not only are they forgiven, but they have been taken as far as the east is from the west. Does anybody know how far that is? No way. You can't conceive it. It's beyond our mind's imagination. How far is the east from the west? Well, to help that out, in Colossians, chapter 2, verse 13, it says, I will remember them no more. So when you give your heart to Jesus, folks, your sins are remembered no more. Why do we keep remembering them? Why do the people around us keep remembering them? Why does Satan continually want to remind us? Because the Bible tells you that the truth will set you free. And the truth is, according to the Word of God, God's Word Himself to us says, I remember your sins no more. They are covered in the blood. I remember them no more. I've taken them as far as the east is from the west. I remember them no more. The same things that I'm sharing with you this morning are the same things that the enemy, the devil, Lucifer, Satan, the deceiver, whatever name you want to give him, the father of lies, he doesn't want you to know. He wants you to think that your sins are not forgiven and that God still remembers those sins. We cannot receive that lie. When you come to give your heart to Jesus, he remembers him no more. Folks, this happens immediately. The things I'm telling you right now happen immediately. In Romans 10, 4, and there's other scriptures that reference this. Study. Find them. Look up this key word. You become righteous. What? You become righteous at that moment. See, we try to be righteous by following the law. And the Bible tells us that our righteousness is as filthy rags. We can't. No matter how hard we try, No matter what we do, you can come to church every Sunday, you can come to every church meeting there is, every singing, whatever it is. You can do all the good works that you know to do. You will never be righteous. You can tithe, you can give all your money away if you want to. That does not make you righteous. What makes you righteous is Jesus Christ. When he died on the cross for you, he says, I'm righteous, now you're righteous. Because we cannot be in the presence of God unless, number one, there's no sin. Now, number two, righteousness. And the key thing about this righteousness, before, no matter how much good you wanted to be and how righteous you wanted to be, you failed. You failed. What Jesus just done is given you the power to be righteous. You can be righteous now because you are righteous through Jesus Christ. You can't obtain this on your own. It's only through him. It's only through him. We all know this one. This is one of the reasons why we give our heart to Jesus. We have everlasting life. John 3:16. You all could probably quote it with me. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You immediately have everlasting life. That happens just like that. It's done. God takes care of that. You don't have to worry about that. Here's a neat one. You immediately become a child of God. John 1, verse 2. Chapter 1, verse 2. What does that mean? I have three of my children over here with me today. They know what that means to be my children. They get everything that I have. May not be much, but they get everything I have. They also know that I provide for them. They don't need to worry too much about what to eat. They worry about what to wear because I would pick something a little different most of the time, okay? But they are clothed. They have shelter. When you become a child of God, all your needs are met. You don't have to worry about what you're going to eat, or what you're going to wear, or where you're going to live. We do that for whatever reason, but you don't have to worry about that because the Bible tells me that if I seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, these things will be provided. Now, that may mean you get a job, you got to work, da-da-da, but they'll be provided. God will take care of what you need. You may want to drive a Ford, but it may be a Chevy, okay? Or vice versa, depends on what you want to drive. But God will provide your needs. He promises this. He'll take care of us. I didn't write this one down, but I want to remind you. He also said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That's part of the providing. I will never leave you in the cold. I will never leave you, ever. I'm with you always. So remind yourself the next time you do something or go somewhere or see something that probably you shouldn't be doing, guess who's with you? Because he promised he'll never leave you nor forsake you. But what else he's saying there is, when you go through hard times, I'm there. When you go through great times, I'm there. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Our God will always be there. Colossians 2:10 gives us a reference that we are made complete. You ever felt incomplete? You ever felt like there's something missing? Maybe there's what we call there's a hole in your heart. There's something missing. So I strive to get a better job, or I strive to do something. There's something missing in my life. What's missing in my life? When you become born again, God fills that void. He takes care of that emptiness. He makes you complete. So that tells me no longer do you need to be insecure, because He makes you complete. In every way, you think about what you need to make yourself complete. God is that. Some of us think we had to be married to be complete, and some of us needed that. God provided that. But He will make you complete. It's a promise. That happens immediately. Ephesians. I believe it's 1:6. I can't read my own writing right now. You've been accepted of God. How many in here wants to be accepted by God? I think we all do, don't we? We want to be accepted by God. That immediately happens. And I'm going to say this. I'm not giving you the orders that these all happen, because I don't know the order they happen. Far as I know, they all happen at one time. And only God can do that. We have a way of, there's an order of things. God's order in this, bam, it's done. When He spoke in the beginning, how did the earth come to about? He spoke it, it's done. That's the kind of God we serve. And He's doing it in you. Here's one we all need. And Jesus spoke this. He said, I leave you something. And I don't know if this is scripture reference I'm giving you, but I'm speaking from my heart right now. The world cannot give this to you. The world can't even accept it from me. But because you've come to me and you become born again, I give you my peace. The world is always asking for what? Peace. Oh, if we could just have peace. And they're seeking this peace. We have it. As a born-again believer, you have it. A peace that passes all understanding. And that's times I don't understand it, but I know I got it. A peace when you go through trials and tribulations, when you go through the storms of life, when you get a report. The cancer's back. Only God can give you peace at that time. The doctors try, but they can't. Only God can give you peace. When you go through life situations, you've just lost a loved one. Only God can give you peace and comfort. Everybody else can come around and try to help out, but only God can give you that. And you know that as a believer, you have that. And you have that immediately. Romans 5:1 was my reference for there. Here's a good one. Some of you may agree or disagree. Talk to God. It's in His Word. Okay? And I'm going to give you the reference first. 1 Peter 2:9 and 1 Peter 1:15 and 16. This is the one we all have a little hard time to accept. You are holy. When you give your heart to Jesus Christ and you're born again, you immediately become holy. I would like for you to do me a favor right now. If you're married, I would like for you to look at your spouse and say this. If you're not, just turn to the person next to you, and I want you to tell each other, you are holy because of Jesus. Do you know what that means now that you know this and you understand this? We are to treat one another as holy. God has said that you are a peculiar people, a royal priesthood, a chosen generation, and He's made you a holy nation. But you are holy. You know what? The enemy wants to say, Chuck, you're not holy. And he'll give you everything to make you unholy. And you can look at him in the face. I don't know if you do that. I do this. I look at him and I say, you're a liar because Jesus Christ has made me holy. My holiness is not on my own. It is through Jesus Christ. And he's made me holy. And when God looks at you, he sees holiness in this room right now. And he enters into our presence because of the holiness in this room. And when we look at each other holy, I will treat Amy a little bit different. Not that I treated you wrong, have I? Okay? But I will treat her different. I will treat my wife different. I'll treat my kids. Because now they're a holy people. When I see someone out on the street that doesn't know Jesus Christ, I already know they're holy in Jesus because Jesus Christ died for them too. They don't know it yet. And that's why I got to share the good news. Did you not know that your sins are forgiven? That's part of the process of making us holy. Did you not know that you are righteous now? You can have this, just repent of your sins. Be born again. But I already know they are because God has shown me in my heart what he's already seen in us. Did he not love us before we loved him? God tells us by faith we are to look and to see things as he sees them. And I don't know about your world, but my world, I don't see that until I look through the eyes of Jesus and then I see it. Then I know it. And then I can act upon it and live it out. Because for a long time, I didn't see myself righteous. I didn't see myself holy. Because I was looking at me. Not at Jesus. Here's another one that we've discussed in our Sunday school class, and it's hard for some of us to relate, and it kind of goes with the holiness. But in Romans 6:12 and 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 2, it refers to us as saints. Did you know you're a saint when you come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Some of you are having a hard time with that now. I can see it on your face. I'm not no saint according to the Word of God because Jesus died on the cross for your sins. He was rose from the dead to give us eternal life and to give us all these benefits. You are a saint. Read the scriptures. And we are to treat one another as saints. And do you know what the interpretation of the Greek word of saint is? Anybody? Take a shot. Holy one. You're a holy one. You may not act holy sometimes, but you're a holy one and you're a saint. I'd like for you to look at each other again and say this to each other. Because see, Satan has lied to us so much, it's hard for us to hear the word and say, is that really right? It's in there. I want you to look at each other and say, you're a saint of God. Say it again. You're a saint of God. Doesn't it feel good to know that you're a saint of God? You know, the Bible tells us I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. And if he wants me to be a saint, I can be a saint. God does this immediately for us. Bam, it's done. It's done. You don't have, what we have a hard time is we think we got to do this first. We got to act like a saint before we're a saint. That's not according to scriptures. Jesus says, you're a saint. Now act like a saint. It's so much easier. It's so much easier that way. Because guess what? If I try to act like a saint on my own, I'll never achieve it. But because now that Jesus lives in my heart, I have the ability to do righteousness. I have the ability to be holy. I have the ability to live as a saint. Some of you are priests and you don't even know it. The Bible says you are. You become from the royal priesthood. Jesus is our high priest. We are in the family of priests. Well, I'm not a priest. Yeah, you are. If you're a born again child of God, you're a priest. When you sing, Karen, you're a priest because you're sharing the gospel through music. When we love one another the way God wants us to love it, we're showing that priesthood who we are in Jesus Christ. I'm telling you guys, this list is so huge. I'm just barely touching it. And we're having a hard time grasping what I'm sharing with you right now. This is the simple stuff. It gets even deeper. And God is awesome. Jesus gave us a new commandment. And he said this. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul, and your strength. And love your neighbors yourself. Right now, the reason we have challenges that, and some of you in here have more challenges than others, is you don't love yourself. You know who you are. And you think to yourself, I can't love myself. How can I love anybody else? I don't even like me. I look in the mirror. I don't like how I look. I know who I am. Nobody else may know, but I don't like me. When you're a saint, I like that. I'm a saint. I'm starting to like myself now. You know what? I'm accepted by God. I like that. I like me now. God said, my sins are all forgiven. They've been taken away. He remembers them no more. I like that about me. And you can apply each and every one of these things. God loves you. You need to love you. And God loved you right where you are at right now. I don't care where you're at. God loves you right now, and he will always love you forever and ever. His love never goes away right where you're at right now. I don't care what kind of mess your life is. I don't care how emptiness is in your life. He loves you. I don't care what you have done. And you could share with me the worst of the worst. And Jesus says, I love you. I want to turn your life around. I want to give you hope. That's another thing, and I didn't write that scripture down. But God gives you hope. He makes you hope again. Some of you come to know Jesus because of that. You needed hope. Some of you come to Jesus for lots of reasons. Some of you are so bound up of stuff. and you feel your life's a mess. You have no control over yourself. Everything else is controlling you. I don't know who you are, ma'am. Forgive me if I overstep my boundaries. Okay. But especially, Jesus wants me to tell you, he loves you. And he wants you to love yourself. You are holiness in his eyes. You are righteous in his eyes. He's accepted you right where you're at right now. Receive that from him. Receive that from him. Father, bless her right now. Bless her with your presence in her life. You know everything about her. And you love her. And you care for her. And you wanted her to know that how much you love her this morning. And it's time she start loving herself right where she's at. In Jesus' name. God's going to meet some needs you're asking for, okay? I don't know what you're asking for, but I know this. God's going to meet those needs. You just keep pressing forward with him, okay? In John chapter 3, verse 3 through 8, there's references in there. Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again if you want to see the kingdom of God. Nobody's going to see the kingdom of God unless they're born again. You must be born again. Unless the seed falls to the ground and dies and is resurrected to life, you will not see the kingdom of God. Unless you die to yourself and let Jesus Christ become the King of Kings and Lord of Lords of your life, you will not see the kingdom of God. It will not be in your life. No man comes to the Father except through Jesus Christ. Okay, Lord. Verse 3 says, verily, truly, I say to you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. How can someone be born when they are old? Nicodemus asked. Surely they cannot enter into the second time of their mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, verily, truly, I say to you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to the flesh, but Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. See, sin robbed us from our eternal spirit. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And it robbed us from that. And it's not what you did, it's because you were born into it. You were born a sinner because of Adam and Eve. You were born into that. You didn't have a choice. You could go to church all your life. That doesn't make you a saint. That doesn't make you a child of God. What makes you a child of God is receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Understanding that he died on the cross, his blood was shed for you, and he was resurrected to give us eternal life. Many of you in here have been born again. I've heard your testimony. Some of you have walked with Jesus for a long time. Some of you, maybe a short time. I have touched just a few things at what happened immediately. Some of you probably knew those, and maybe you didn't. And by the looks on some of your faces I received, I know there were some that you had a hard time to accept. But you got to understand that God made a way where there was no way. There was no way we could be holy. There was no way we could be righteous. There was no way we could be in His presence without Jesus dying on the cross for us and raising from the dead. God put His Spirit in you. From the very beginning of the Bible to the very end, He said, I have this desire. And we sang about it this morning. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. Your body holds that. You're the sanctuary of God. And for a long time, God just met people in a tabernacle. But He said, I want a closer relationship than that. I want to come into your heart. I want to fill you with my presence. I want to fill you with my Holy Spirit so that you can walk with me. To be born again means that God will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. That's in Ezekiel 36, 26. Old Testament. Long time He wanted to do this. And because Jesus died on the cross and was resurrected from the dead, the promise came. The Holy Spirit can now be in us. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Here's a challenge we have after we give our heart to Jesus. We think, okay, I wake up the next morning, I'm still the same person. No. When you're truly born again, that person's gone. That old person's over with. He's dead. Jesus raised up a new person. And He put His Spirit within you because now you're alive in Him. The devil doesn't want you to know this, because when you know this, then guess what just happened, which I didn't have in my notes. You have authority over Him now. God's children trump Satan and his followers. You have authority over Him, and any time you can look Him and say, get behind me, Satan. But we've always thought we can't do that. You can do that because Jesus said you can do all things through me. And we are His children. And I'm going to tell you right now, anybody mess with my children, they got me to mess with. That's why we got to look at each other holy, because we don't want our Father coming down on us. You're special. You're beautiful. God made you that way. Some of you are saying, I'm not beautiful. Yes, you are. You're beautiful. We also are partakers of the divine nature. 2 Peter 1:4. You have also passed from death into life. John 5:24. The new birth brings a change in our philosophy and our manner of living. There is a change, folks. You're not the same person no more. Now you're going to live a righteous person. Now you're going to live a holy person. The things that you once desire will fall away. Sometimes immediately for some. I've heard your testimony. The things that bound you before was taken away. Some of us have got to give it up. We don't want this no more. It didn't bring me life. I want life. Let me conclude with this. I can go on and on with this stuff. I want you to be excited to know that God is on your side and he's taking care of you and he's provided everything you need to walk the Christian life, to be victorious in everything you do, to be blessed continually by God. Scripture after scripture shows reference that we are blessed. He doesn't want the curses on us. We are blessed. And some say, well, why am I going through what I'm going through? Because all things work together for the good, for those who love him and are called according to him, to his purpose. And I'm going to tell you something. Some of you guys that are going through some stuff that are pretty tough right now, there is a reason. We may not see that reason. We may not understand that reason. But I'm going to tell you, be faithful to the Lord. He will bring you through. He'll never leave you through this. Judy. You've got a report. Came back. You're going through a difficult time right now. But God's not going to leave you. And I'm going to tell you one of the reasons why God has allowed this to happen. And I'm saying this, as thus saith the Lord. You're going to be put in front of somebody that needs to know Jesus' love. And you are the instrument he's going to use. Prepare yourself. Walk in his holiness. Walk in his righteousness. Be filled with his spirit. Because when that time comes, you're going to know it. It's not a second guess thing. You're going to know that whoever it is that you're going to be put in front, and the only reason and that they're going to be able to hear this is because of your situation. God is using this situation so that you can touch somebody's life to come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Isn't that exciting? Isn't that worth anything? Because remember what we just said? All of heaven rejoices. All of heaven rejoices. And you know God's going to heal you. You know that. So there's not a challenge there. So now you're on the journey to do what God wants you to do and to be who God wants you to be. Maybe you've never been born again. Maybe you don't know what that is. I'm going to share some things real quickly with you. If you want to be born again, if you understand that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, he arose from the dead, and he's coming back to take us home. Because that's the other thing we got. We got eternal home with him. Okay? First, we have to hear the word of God, Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You've got that this morning. Secondly, before I go to that, it pleases God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. 1 Corinthians 1:21. So any of my foolishness that I've spoken to you this morning, it pleased God. Well, that's pretty cool. I can speak pretty foolishly sometimes. But it's because of his word of God. It sounds foolish that the words from the Bible have the power to penetrate our hearts and change our lives. But they do because they are God's holy word. Secondly, then there is the work of the Holy Spirit. He convicts us to let us know that we are who we are. John 16:8. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. He changes us. He changes our wills, our affections, our objectives, our living, our dispositions. He gives us a new purpose and new goals. That's my time, I think. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Old things have passed away, and all things, everything becomes new. And thirdly, then he dwells within us. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, that the Holy Spirit of God dwells in you? Does God, the Holy Spirit, live in you? It's a question I'm asking you this morning. Does God the Holy Spirit live in you this morning? If you can say yes, and all these things are beginning to happen to you, your lives have changed, then you've been born again when you've believed in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But if you can say, I don't know, you can be born again. It's real simple. Repent of your sins. Not just confess them. Repent. There's two different things. I can confess my sins all I want, but until I turn and go in a different direction. Repent means that I turn around. I'm heading this way in my sinful life. I repent. I'm going this way. I'm going towards God. Because I know God's not that direction. I'm going towards God. That's repent. And by faith, only by faith, you receive Jesus Christ as Lord, Master, and Savior. As a little child. It's by faith. You want to please God? Believe. Trust Him. Just like when your children believed you and trusted you. By faith. I'm going to give you an opportunity this morning to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I know this has been a little bit different message. Jason does a lot of teachings, and I'm so thankful for them to help us to grow in Christ. And that's what God called him to do and his purpose. But I wanted to share with you this morning what happens to you when you give your heart to Jesus. And maybe you thought you did. Maybe you didn't. Maybe you did do that, but you got an understanding now more of who you are in Christ. I'd like for every one of you to bow your heads, and I want you to pray. I really want you to pray right now. I would like for everyone to bow their heads. I'm not going to ask you to do anything wrong. I'm not going to ask you to do anything you don't want to do. That's the other thing about God. He's a gentleman. If you want to receive Jesus, if you want to be born again, believe with your heart that Jesus died on the cross for you. His blood was shed for you. Tell him right now, Lord, I need you. I need you to save me from my sins. I need you to cleanse me from all of my unrighteousness. I want what Bill was talking about this morning, Lord. I want to be full in you. I want to be complete. I want all the emptiness in me. I want to love myself as you love me. I want to be holy. I want to be righteous. And I know that only comes from you. Thank you, Jesus. Be my Lord. Be my Master. And thank you for being my Savior. Come into my heart. Cleanse me. I give myself to you. And I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you've given your heart to Jesus this morning, share it with someone. If you can, share it with Pastor Jason. Let him know so that he can help you grow in Christ. Maybe you did that and you did it again this morning because you wanted to be sure. Let Jason know so he can share with you what you need to do and pray with you and come alongside you and help you. There's one other thing I forgot to tell you on purpose. I want to save it for last. The greatest thing that happens is in Revelations. I'll get you a scripture reference. You guys can continue to play. I like that. In Revelations, I don't have scripture reference, but it's in Revelations. Your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And one day, Jesus is going to open a seal that nobody else can open, and it's the seal to that book. And your name is there. And you will enter with him for eternity. There's so many more things, guys. The blessings, the benefits are renewed daily. They continue on. But if you've given your heart to Jesus Christ, the greatest thing is your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank you.